Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 92 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Giltacca. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I have a ton of stuff, and I have so much stuff that I actually had to do three takes to get all of it dealt with. And I had to cut a whole bunch of stuff out. I'm just really amazed at how fast things are moving right now, how much is actually going on. But anyway, before we get into that, I would like to talk about our sponsors. The first one being Vortex, the force of optics. So thanks very much, everyone over at Vortex Canada, for continuing to sponsor the podcast. I think it's been like a year and a half now already. So excellent supporters. We really appreciate it. And our newest sponsor, which is the Saskatchewan Rivers Chapter of Safari Club International. So thanks so much to the Sask Rivers Chapter of SEI for making a great donation. They made a donation a little while back. It was awesome. And for supporting the sponsoring the podcast long term. So you can check out all of the great work that they do over at saskriversSEI.com. That's saskriversSEI.com. Okay. Man, it's been a really busy couple of weeks and I'm really exhausted. So I'm going to trip over my words and whatnot. And it's actually quite late in the day here on Friday. It's like 3:30 and I've been talking since my first meeting was at 7 a.m. my time. So I'm getting a little bit tired. And, you know, I run with very limited intellectual resources at the best of time. So, okay. So the first thing I want to talk about today was David Lametti, who is the Minister of Justice, who I think the Minister of Justice is also the Attorney General, I believe. I don't know. I'm not sure how that works. But that's not my job. Anyway. He was making some kind of statement regarding Bill C-10, and it was about charter statements. So a charter statement is basically where the Minister of Justice goes to all the government lawyers and says, hey, you know, this new legislation that we have may impact the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, and we want to know if that's going to happen because we're not supposed to do that. So, you know, do it. Just see if this is going to be a problem, guys. And then they come up with, you know, a report, and then there's a charter statement, right? So the reason why this is interesting, right, and hilarious is because Lametti and the rest of the liberals they're just the last people in the world that you'd ever want to provide an opinion on whether something infringes upon the charter or not. And I'm going to give you an example. So our friend Andrew Lawton over at True North, he did a story about this. Here's the video. Now I'm not gonna run the video for you, but you can go to Andrew Lawton's Twitter feed. You can check it out, or I'll see if I can remember to put a link in the description box there for you. But basically, what Lametti says, and you're gonna see why this is interesting. So here's a quote from him. He says, "When Parliament legislates, it may affect charter rights and freedoms. This may include limiting their enjoyment or exercise when it is in the broader public interest to do so. This is entirely legitimate." So right away, he's like, hey, we may take away these rights or infringe upon them, but this is legitimate. Pay attention to this part right here, these words, the rights and freedoms guaranteed in the charter. So rights, freedoms, and the word guaranteed, apparently they're guaranteed, but wait, are not absolute. They're guaranteed, but they're not absolute. Which is it, Dave? But anyway, whatever. Are not absolute, but rather subject to reasonable limits so long as those limits can be demonstrably justified. Now, the reason why I have a real problem with this is complete garbage. This is BS. This is absolute disinformation, right? It's gaslighting people. And I'll tell you why. Because I think 10 or 20 or 30 years ago, when a charter statement was done, it was done legitimately, like I described, where the Minister of Justice says, hey, you know, we're concerned, this new legislation, we've got to make sure it doesn't infringe. Okay, let me know what you think, guys. But now you have somebody like David Lametti, and you can't trust David Lametti, in my opinion. He is untrustworthy, because I don't know where David I don't know a lot about him. He seems to be new to me. I don't know whether this is first time in government or what, but I just haven't seen him. But I think he was like a law professor or something like that. Well, he's fallen a long way, very similar to, you know, dead eye Bill Blair, right? He's fallen a long way because if you look at what his behavior was like during the gun ban, he was like a little penguin waddling, you know, behind Trudeau and dead eye Bill Blair, towing the party line. So whatever came out of Trudeau's mouth came right out of Bill Blair's mouth. All of it is garbage. Like, I mean, I could do an annotated step-by-step video of that whole press release when they rolled out that OIC. But instead of doing that, we filed a lawsuit against them, right? But every ridiculous statement came out of Trudeau's mouth, went right into Lametti's mouth, turned around and came out. He would basically, people like Lametti and like Bill Blair, and of course Justin Trudeau, I mean, he was never anything before he got into politics anyway, right? But nonetheless, they've all become just cheap political hacks that will literally say anything for the expedience of their political party, for their ability to stay in power. And the reason why I say that is they say things that are demonstrably untrue, right? And with Bill C-10, when you call them on it, now they're assigning themselves the ability to censor you, to shut you off. In essence, to tell you, remember how your parents said, use your words? They want to make sure that that's not an option anymore. To what end? I don't know. I don't know what they're expecting to happen when they don't allow people to use their words anymore. But anyway, that seems to be their plan. But when you have somebody like Lametti, who you can obviously see, like, he'll say anything, right? Even if it's untrue. And he's also in charge of the department over at Justice, right? Now let's talk about what he's done over there. In the court case CCFR versus Canada, one of the reasons why we did that court case is like, okay, government, if you need to do something so dramatic, and I mean, this is not like banning guns the way that they did it is not a no big deal thing. Like, it's huge. It's a really big deal, right? Really big. Lots of ramifications. Really serious matter. We took them to court to say, okay, well, if this is legitimate and you're going to infringe upon charter rights, or you're going to just take our property for no reason, you should have a reason. You should be able to demonstrate it. Where's your proof? And you know what they came back and they said, and you guys have heard me say this before, they're like, we're not providing any proof. We're not going to enter any evidence. Cabinet confidence. You know, apparently the information that they use to justify banning guns is so secret they can't even let you know why. Isn't that interesting, right? It's almost the equivalent of it's classified. Isn't that interesting though? And so how can you blame people for being cynical, for not trusting people like David Lametti, who will say literally anything and do literally anything as long as Justin Trudeau is benefiting and Lametti can stay in that government job? I'm sure he didn't need the money. He's there for some other reason, like Bill Morneau. Bill Morneau is going to settle for $260,000 a year when the guy's worth, I don't know, what, $100 million? Who knows how much, right? These people, there's something, you know, there's a good reason why you don't trust them. So anyway, it's very interesting how they, on one hand, oh, these are rights and freedoms are guaranteed, but it's not absolute. By the way, this process is completely legitimate, just like the way that they're handling the gun files. So Lametti, wow. Well, aren't we lucky to have him in power, right? So anyway, I thought I'd draw attention to it because it's kind of interesting. It's just a little signpost of the decline of Canada, right? The corrosion of our institutions. No wonder no one can trust them anymore. They deserve it completely. So anyway, they're telling us why we can't trust them. Anyway, one more thing, next thing is I had my first meeting with the Mass Casualty Committee this morning at 7 a.m. So that's the public inquiry for the events in Nova Scotia. And I can't tell you really anything about the meeting other than this was the orientation meeting. And then everything after that is confidential for good reason too, obviously, while the committee does its work. But I did want to say this. In that meeting, I really got a great feeling, contrary to what I feel about the Liberal government and, you know, the characters that I just mentioned, that these people, this group of people are sincere and honestly want to get to the bottom of what happened and how to prevent it in the future. Like, I have a really good feeling about the people on the committee. And I also want to say that I'm very grateful to them for including me and by extension the CCFR in this process. I have a lot to contribute because I have a lot more experience than just business development and what I've done with the CCFR. I have a lot of other experience as well to bring to the table. And I'm really excited to contribute, like really contribute to the work. I'm not there for partisan purposes. I'm there to contribute to the work. You know, whatever the truth is, whether it suits my purposes or not, is the truth. The truth has to come out. Whether it's inconvenient for me or any gun owner or helps gun owners, it's all about the truth. So I'm really, I don't know, I got a good feeling about these people. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. I can't really say anything that happens in the meetings because at some point it's going to be protected information. But I'm going to do everything I can to make sure whatever truly happened, as much as I can. I mean, I'm a nobody, right, on the committee. But whatever I can do to bring out the truth, I hope I can help the committee in their pursuit. So yeah, it's a real honor. All right, next thing, the season finale of Gunman Canada Exposed came out, episode 7. As you guys know, that's an hour-long episode or 42 minutes of content if you're looking at YouTube without the commercials, right? And I think it was okay. I think I could have done better had I had more time to focus on it, but I feel like that about every project I ever do. I always feel like I could have done better. But, you know, we only have so many tools and so much time to do these things. And it's getting really great feedback. I touched on some very sensitive things in the episode. And I'd like to think that I handled them fairly well because they're really sensitive subjects. And we're disagreeing with the narrative of the government's narrative. So it's always a very sensitive thing. I did the best that I could to do that. So it's funny. I was in a firearm forum. And a guy's like, is this going to be shown? Where is this being shown? Is this going to be shown nationally? And it's, you know, I don't mean to make fun of these guys, but it's like we're everywhere. We're all over social media. We're on stinking television, on two specialty channels. We're in the forums. We're in the public eye. We're on mainstream media to some extent, right? When there's a problem, they call us for comment and whatnot. We're in government committee. We're all over the place. Now, when it comes to our television show, the stuff that we've done has never been done before, isn't being done by anybody else. We're the only game in town for that, for whatever reason, unfortunately, right? But no matter what we do and how much effort we put in or how much money we can spend, content like that, like Gunban Canada Exposed, will never be on CBC. It will never get on CTV. It'll never get on Global. It's never going to happen, period, right? The political structure in Canada will not allow that. End of story. Okay. Now maybe in the future I could produce something that is, smash all the teeth out of Gunban Canada Exposed and throw it up there. Maybe they'd air something like that, but not the way that it was done, on Wild TV. And kudos to Wild TV for having the guts to show something like that, you know. And they changed a lot during the production of that show, as well. Right. It was a lot more sensitive before. They've allowed me to do whatever I wanted. And again, I think I've kept it calm, fact-based, left the emotion out of it, and everything I've said is completely true. So, in fact, you know what? I'll say this too. Everything I've said in any show that I've ever produced, in any internet content I've ever produced, is demonstrably true, at least the information I had at the time. I'll challenge anybody to show me where I've lied once, ever. So, anyway. What I was saying about the question, like, where's it going to be shown? It's shown nationwide on Wild TV. Each episode was shown, I think, about 10 times, right? So that's different times during the week in the schedule, probably four different times 4 weeks. So 4 times 4 is 16. Well, maybe 16 times. I'm trying to be conservative by saying 10. Let's say 10 for now. And so it's being, but it is a specialty channel. So that is what it is. And then, you know, we put that out on social media. It's on YouTube. It gets some probably, 5 or 10 organic views. I don't think that the algorithm is helping us at all. And certainly after Bill C-10 passes, we will have no access to the algorithm whatsoever. You probably won't even be able to search CCFR on YouTube by the time the Liberals are done with us. But the real grassroots of getting this information out there and making it effective is you getting people to watch it and telling them, like, I want to discuss this with you. I want to know what you think. And when you have that opportunity, if you don't have these kind of conversations with people very often, look at it from this perspective. Just ask them questions. So what did you think? oh, well, I like this and that, but I don't know if that's true. Why do you think that that's not true? They provided references to everything. Well, blah, 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 it just can't be. It's like, well, but what if it is? Like, what would you think then? Like, just for the sake of our conversation, let's pretend that that's true. Like it is, but just, you know, so that's how you get people thinking about things. And that's how you make them accountable for their opinions without having to call like, yeah, you're full of it. You know, like that's not the approach, right? So anyway, that's how we're going to get it out there. So if every member of the CCFR did that with two people, you know, we'd have 70,000 people in Canada that will have seen something differently. And maybe out of those 70,000, 1,500 people do that with their contacts. That's how we get our name out there. That's how we get that information out there. Okay. There's no other way for us to do it. It has to be grassroots. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I'm honest with you guys. It's just, it is what it is. That's our battle space. And that's our area that we're operating in. Okay. So anyway, get that information out there. Also, you probably might've noticed that I broke out the mass shooting section. You can share that around too. Very sensitive topic. But it's 100% factual. And it's 100% reasonable. Even the way I presented it, I think is completely reasonable. I wasn't hyperbolic about any of that stuff. But you know, what's interesting is over here, I'll show you. It's funny because the doctors were on their feet and they're the most hyperbolic, you know, nutty organization I think I've ever dealt with. Like extreme gun orgs aren't like them. Anyway, check this out. So in the latest video against the assault weapons ban, CCFR's CEO states mass shootings don't happen very often in Canada. That's demonstrably true. I just said they don't happen very often in Canada, like apparently. But again, they're saying something that's not true. The reason they're saying that is to outrage people. Like, oh my God, can you believe this guy said something that's clearly true? And in a sensitive manner, by the way, right? So they're trying to outrage people and suggest NRA style. So this is their thing. It's funny because the doctors always say, oh, everyone is victimizing us. Oh, everyone's, you know, throwing slurs at us and everybody's racist and everybody's misogynist and everybody's whipping people into a frenzy. And this is all they do. If you look at every single post where they talk about any opposing opinion, this is what it looks like. They're just a horrible group, right? So anyway, NRA style, of course, concealed carry laws on school property. We suggest that these laws, like in Florida and Colorado, can save lives. And you know, it's interesting because it's demonstrably true. And I gave them real stories, real actual events on mainstream media. Like here, this is what happened. You know, who knows? In one situation, the shooting at the New Life Church in Colorado Springs, like hundreds of people were saved. It's indisputable, physically indisputable. But they run stuff like this just to whip people into a frenzy, not so that they discuss the merits of what I said or the reasons why it's not accurate. It's only to create hate, right? You have to hate us so that you never really listen to what we have to say. That's the strategy. Okay. So anyway, I'm running long. I know. And then of course, here's a good example of what happens. You got this clown here, Drew Caldwell. CCFR is a death cult. So this is what these doctors do. They whip these people into such an intense frenzy that they say something so outrageous, like we're a death cult. And you know what? This Drew Caldwell character, he's a former MLA and cabinet minister in Manitoba. And this isn't the first bit of trouble he's gotten into in his life either. But, you know, but this is the kind of stuff that you have to deal with if you're just like, I have a license to own guns. I haven't hurt anybody. I don't want my guns taken away. I haven't done anything to deserve it. Apparently, this is the most outrageous thing in the world. And so anyway, this is the kind of stuff that that group does. And it's really sad. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about them too much. The only traction they really get is when we talk about them. I think that was the biggest tweet they ever got. They got like 191 likes. You know, like that's the biggest tweet they ever had. They have all the mainstream media lined up behind them. They can sit down with, you know, Bill Deadeyes Blair and also Justin Trudeau, sit down, broadcast on all the networks, and they can't. I mean, that's the biggest tweet they ever made, I think. They usually get one or two likes. It's just terrible. So anyway, I'm not going to give them any more time than they deserve, although sometimes they do deserve a little bit of time. We'll talk about them probably a little bit with Tracy. Other than that, that's all I got for you for now. Let's bring Tracy on and get that done. All right. I've got Wilson on the Skype. Wilson.
Giltaka, how's it going?
That's going all right. How are you?
Crazy. Lots going on.
Awesome. All right. We've got so much to talk about. We've got to hurry. So first thing we're talking about is the Grey Highlands Municipality doing some motion against any gun ban that might happen down the road with city council.
Yes, exactly. So those of you who follow me on social media or have been checking out the CCFR website, we recently put up some information about how city councils could kind of preemptively oppose this idea of a municipal handgun ban that, of course, is brought forward in C21, which is not yet law, but is being debated in Parliament. So the Grey Highlands Township, which is in Ontario, actually did exactly that. So they brought a motion forward to their city council and, in fact, in front of their police services board, where it's on record that the entire city council and the police board opposed the idea of a municipal handgun ban. And part of that motion also was to send that opposition forward to the House of Commons, to the local MP, who is Conservative MP Alex Ruff, as well as to the federal cabinet minister, Bill Blair. So I think that's great. You will see opposition to C21 and the municipal handgun ban continue to roll in from across the country. If you're a city councilor listening to this, or a constituent who's interested in working with your councilor to possibly put forward a motion in your local city council, you can reach out to me at info@firearmrights.ca. I'd be glad to help provide you with a template to do that and some talking points to take to your city council.
Awesome. Yeah. And what's going on there is going to end up going on across the country should Bill C-21 pass. The CCFR will facilitate all kinds of local municipal action against any municipality that will participate in some ridiculous, absurd gun ban idea, basically banning anyone that has a firearms license and properly stores their firearms in the municipality. So rest assured, we're on it.
We've actually been kind of opposing this sort of idea, whether it be national or municipal, for quite some time. And we've had some success with attending city council meetings and having these sort of motion stopped. So in Kingston, Ontario, as well as here in my hometown of Ottawa, I've attended both city councils, addressed the council myself, spoke to them on behalf of gun owners in their municipalities, and both times we won, getting the motion to support a handgun ban thrown out. So, which is basically the same as opposing it, right? So yeah, we've got some success with that. And I'm here to help empower gun owners across the country to do the same in their jurisdictions.
Okay, well, perfect. Next thing we need to talk about, I'm trying to rush it along because it's going to be long. Next thing we need to talk about is Bill C-21, another debate happened in the House of Commons today. So there's a couple of things we want to actually touch on there. Number one, the debate, which was hilarious. I mean, it was everything you'd...
That was a gong show.
Yeah, it's exactly what you expect from the Liberal Party there, you know, and the face that they put to it was exactly what you expect from the Liberal Party, like a disheveled, disorganized kind of, I don't want to be too mean, but anyway, just a mess, right? Confused,
like,
doesn't know the issues, doesn't touch on the issues, all about, you know, throwing insults and trying to make accusations and insinuations. It's just a lot of talk about everything but the bill today. But let's, before we get into that, or maybe we've had enough of that already, I certainly have. Let's talk about the games that the Liberals were playing on scheduling.
Yeah. So normally every day there's an order paper, which is sort of the schedule of what's to be discussed or debated or brought up in the House of Commons. And it's funny because C-21 keeps popping on the schedule for certain days, you know, so of course, opposition parties at that point, you know, organize their troops and put forward who's going to speak about it and what they're going to say. And then, of course, it keeps being pulled back off the schedule and then put on. And this is a tactic that the Liberals use quite often. And the idea here is if they can keep putting it on the schedule, pulling it off and sort of doing things last minute, they're hoping to catch the opposition in a position where maybe they're not, you know, ready or they're not prepared to speak against it or speak to it in any event. And of course, that hasn't happened yet. But yeah, it's been going back and forth like that all week. It's been on and off the schedule. And then it was on the schedule for Monday, and now it's off the schedule for Monday again. And it's just, it's pretty wild. But rest assured, my contacts within the Conservative Party, the opposition who are opposing this on behalf of gun owners, they're ready to go. So, you know, it's just a matter of really ensuring that their staff is watching the schedule and making sure, because it's a pretty wild game they're playing.
Yeah, it's funny. Mark Gerritsen, who made a, in my opinion, a complete idiot of himself in front of the house today. I made a video about it. That's circulating around. You know what? I'll put a link in the description box for that video. You can check it out. But he shows up. Looks like he just got out of bed. I don't know who shows up so unprepared, so unprofessional, and looks like that. Looks like they just rolled out of bed. Who shows up for work like that? And it,
like, I don't know. Well, we've been on lockdown here in Ontario for months and months and months. But I mean, you know, hand your wife a pair of scissors or like take a shower. Well, I don't know.
It's funny because, you know, I've gone I bought a new truck a couple of years ago. I went to the dealership and the guy selling me the Toyota didn't look like that. This is Gerritsen's making over $170,000 a year there, plus expenses, plus pension. I think I don't know how many times he's been elected. He only has to get elected twice to get a full pension for the rest of his life. And he can't, you know, just clean himself up a little bit. Right. And then he shows up and he loses track of what he's saying. And it's just such a mess. And I think the part that gets to me is like the Liberals think this is a joke. They think that, you know, telling people that, you know, you're going to give up your property. I know you haven't done anything wrong, but we're going to take all your stuff. And right now they've taken it without any compensation at all. I don't want compensation. I just want to be left alone. But even so, I can't use any of my stuff. And I got $10,000 worth of prohibited guns I got to just sit on. And they couldn't care. Like, they think this is funny, right? This is a big joke to them.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Well, and that's how you know they're not a serious government. I mean, here we are. There was 2 hours of debate today on C-21 in the House of Commons. And who do the Liberals put forward as their face to defend this legislation? Mark Gerritsen. They're not serious about this at all. It's a complete circus, you know, it's a gong show. And he went in there. He's the same guy. He had said in previous debate on this bill that he supports it because his dad said so.
Well, that's not surprising at all, right? Like that's.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think for your salary and your position, that the least you could do is read the bill and then educate yourself on what the existing laws are and what this changes in order to speak to it. I'm a grown person and I can't imagine saying, well, I support this because my dad said so. Like, I don't know. Even today, MP Shannon Stubbs, who of course is the opposition critic for public safety, she's Bill Blair's opposite. She brought up a really concerning point. And as most gun owners watching this will be aware, of course, Indigenous hunters have the right to continue to use their newly prohibited firearms for sustenance hunting up until the end of the amnesty. So that's great. However, the problem is if something happens to your gun in the meantime and you need to have it serviced or repaired by a licensed gunsmith, you can't take it there. So that's a bit of a safety concern, right? I mean, there's certain things that you need to do to a gun, whether it be cleaning it, repairing it, having things replaced. And it is their Section 35 right to do so, yet they can't take it in. So she explained this situation to Mark Gerritsen, MP Mark Gerritsen from the Kingston and the Islands, asking if, you know, maybe if the government has a solution to this immediate dilemma, because it's a problem right now for Indigenous hunters. And he went on this long diatribe about how he has a family member who's Italian, who's hunted before. And I looked at Shannon's face while I'm watching, and it was just the same look as mine. Like, what? I mean, that's great, but what does this have to do with what she brought up? And what is your solution for that problem? He didn't have one. Yeah. It was just a total gong show. I've never seen anything like
that. They do that stuff all the time, right? And Justin Trudeau is like the originator of the non-answer, right? I'm just going to start talking about something completely different. Or if I really don't have anything different to talk about, I'll just call you a racist, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, it's funny because, then they complain about the state of the political discourse in Canada, and they're the biggest offenders of that crap. And it's, It's mind boggling. But anyway, check out that video I made. It's not one of my best videos, but I felt really inspired when I saw that stuff this morning. I'm like, no, man, someone has to point this guy's hair out. All right. So, you know, it's the elephant in the room, the disheveled elephant. All right.
Yeah. He's a mess.
Yeah. He's a mess in his hair. He is as messy as his hair is. Okay. So, Kanpur, that was a bit of a blow up there yesterday.
Yeah, so you may or may not be aware, there was an issue yesterday. Firearms retailers across the country received kind of this last minute email notice from Kanpur, who is a national delivery service, obviously, that they suddenly would not be servicing them anymore. And of course, this kind of threw everybody into turmoil. You know, immediately the conclusion people jumped to, and I admit I did the same thing, was like, hey, maybe this is some sort of, you know, knock against gun owners or some sort of anti-gun sentiment. And I was sort of like, people were bringing it to me, and I thought, you know, I gotta learn a little more about this before I comment on it too much, because that's always the safest thing to do. So I had a late night text message with Allison DeGroot, who of course is the managing director for the CSAAA, not to be confused with the CSSA. But that is the Canadian Sporting Arms and Ammunition Association. And they're the gun shop lobby. So they represent the industry. So manufacturers, retailers, and importers. And we represent gun owners. And so we had a big, long conversation this morning as a result of our text last night. And, you know, I needed to learn a little more about it before I sort of commented on it. And my intention the entire time, of course, was to reach out to Kanpur today and find out what's going on. I've been seeing all these posts on social media by retailers, and, you know, it's pretty upsetting. We've been through this with a couple different things, right?
Lots of different things.
And after speaking to Allison, I learned there's actually some legitimate reasons. I'm not really free to discuss them right now. There are some legitimate reasons, some things that happened that caused Kanpur to pause service to gun shops. Now, a lot of people were just saying, use somebody else, use UPS or use some other delivery service. But the problem is there are a lot of areas in Canada, as you know, that are geographically remote, whether it be, you know, far north communities, Indigenous communities, Inuit communities, or just people living in really rural areas. And there's an entire list of postal codes that UPS and the other services don't service. So Kanpur, and they're really expensive. So Kanpur was probably the delivery method of choice by most Canadian gun retailers. Not all, but most. So, of course, Allison and the CSAAA, being the representative of those clients, she's been working really hard with Kanpur. There is some deliberations going on today. There's, you know, I don't want to be a big part of this cancel culture type movement. Instead, I'd sort of like to find a solution, right? So, you know, I sort of did a video on my social media today, like a call off the troops type thing. It's not an anti-gun or an attack on gun owners type of situation. There is something beyond their control that's going on. So have a little faith. We're going to let Allison do her great work. She's been giving me updates all afternoon. Once, you know, she's had her conversations and got a final statement from them, you know, we'll come back. Don't worry. If there's something to be outraged about, I am the first person to be outraged, right? But at this point, we're just going to trust in the good work of the CSAAA and just kind of hold our breath a little bit. I'm sure that we're going to be able to find a solution. And if not, so be it. Then we'll go from there.
Okay, cool. I tweeted about it right away. And because... Mm-hmm. You know, because of their message, it was pretty straightforward. So as soon as I talked to you, I deleted that tweet because I don't want to cause them any undue harm. If the issue isn't specifically like, we want nothing to do with you filthy RCMP vetted gun owners. Right. So,
right.
But yeah.
Well, and if that's what I thought yesterday too. So of course I was like, hey, let's do a call to action. I mean, you know, I can get quite a few people to send emails or phone calls, but it isn't that type of situation. I can't really discuss it too far, but just rest assured that both sides are working really hard to come to resolution. And I have some faith that that'll happen. Yeah. And if not, then we'll have to look at next steps.
Yeah. And if it seems like it's legitimately what the issues that you're talking about is, then we'll support Kampar and make sure that the community knows that it wasn't that at all, and that, that they should support them. Cool. Yeah. And then, you know, another little story that kind of popped up was you and I were talking about C-21 committee, the House committee. And the conservatives are rounding up witnesses because, you know, consultation on law is really important. Law shouldn't just be rammed mm-hmm. through by a minority government that has allies that are being incentivized in a variety of different ways. You know, these laws should be there for a purpose. They should serve a purpose. They should be fair, all the rest of that stuff. And part of that, the Liberal government has, you know, a group of puppet doctors that they use, who, you know, do all kinds of unsavory things. There are a lot of doctors that own guns. I mean, we have about 60, doctors of various disciplines in our organization that have actually reached out and told us that they support us, which is fantastic. And we reached out to see if you know, any of them were interested in testifying on committee and bringing their expertise and their experience with firearms to the committee for consideration. And it turns out the overwhelming majority of them would not do it because they are intimidated by certain medical associations and some of them of the hospitals that they're working for, you know, not to be pro-gun openly.
Yeah. So it's a little bit of a situation. It's a normal process through the committee procedures is to form witness lists on all sides of this debate. So, you know, the conservatives put forward their panels full of experts. The liberals will do the same, as well as the other parties. So of course, there are some doctors on our side of the table who will be testifying, but there's other ones who have had everything from attacks on social media to threats of having their hospital privileges pulled. You know, these are serious, career-changing things. And I mean, when you see people like the spin doctors talking about how, you know, they've been attacked for their advocacy, I think being criticized for lying or for spreading disinformation isn't the same as attacking. However, getting your hospital privileges threatened or being chastised on social media by your peers, that is an attack, right? You only, for an example of this, you only have to look back to the City of Toronto public health meeting. I don't know, I think not last year, but the year before. And there was that part where Dr. Greg Mastosi was testifying. And for those of you who don't know Dr. Mastosi, he is a veteran trauma surgeon. He was the surgeon who was responsible and on duty the day of the Polytechnique shooting a long time ago. You know, the very shooting that Polly Sassouvien was born out of. And he treated the people at that horrific tragedy, right? Yet he's a licensed gun owner and, you know, he's got some pretty strong opinions. He's had some articles published by CBC and Maclean's and everything where he's speaking out sort of against gun bans and that the focus still needs to be on criminals and the illicit use of firearms. And he was testifying at this public health hearing. And you can see on the video when you watch, you see Dr. Najma Ahmed from the Doctor for Protection of Guns or whatever they're called. You can see her sort of sneering and snickering as he's being asked the really tough questions. Of course, it's full court press rolled out for her, the red carpet and the easy questions, you know, stuff like that. But when something was brought to Greg, and it, you know, they were being tough on him, you can see her snickering. And it reminded me, you know, I got a little 8-year-old grandson and, you know, they'll lie and fib and say, oh, well, you know, Jimmy broke the toy. It wasn't me. And he'll be snickering behind my back. Right. It was exactly that style of behavior. And it's disappointing because at the end of the day, I keep thinking, you know, there's a real opportunity here for experts with a very diverse, you know, view on this, like a very, you know, yeah, maybe they've got some points or something to bring to the table. If we could just have an honest conversation and bring everybody to the table, I think we really could have a great opportunity to save lives. We are all experts in our own right, in our own field of expertise. And instead of looking for solutions that would have a positive impact on public safety, it's sort of just this continuing, you know, poking and then, you know, like cry bullies, poking everybody else and then crying when you say anything about it. And it's just really frustrating. We Canadians deserve better.
Oh, they totally deserve better. And if anyone is wondering about the video, what I'll do is I'll put a link in the description box to the video. I made a video about that because here's a doctor that has real bona fides, like real bona fides. Huh. Like he was there at the original darkest day in Canadian history, multiple victim public shooting in Montreal. He was there. Plus he knows all the other side. Like he is a credible, valuable person to have advising you because he knows both sides of that argument. And, you know, he just gets pilloried about like who runs your website? What is your group? Yeah, but I don't know. You know, your website information is private. Oh, like who runs your website? It was over and it was Mike Layton, right? The weaker offspring of Jack Layton, right? And you know, just proving what a waste of skin he is. He's just sitting there trying to humiliate, you know, a man that's 200 times more accomplished than he ever will be. Like, just zero respect. And while, you know, and Mazdossi went there to talk specifically about the topic and lend his expertise. And they were all ready for him. The fix was all in to try to humiliate him. Like, it was actually quite sick. Yeah, it was quite sick to watch. And then there's Najma, who runs around claiming she's a victim of 100 million things, running around. You know, so how terribly she's treated. She's sitting behind him laughing at him. And it's on the video. Anyway, like I said, it's one of those political style videos. It's like 2 minutes. You can check it out. I just put the highlights in there for you. But yeah, I mean, it's that them as a group, they've been around for, I think, three years now. If they were going to kind of learn what this is all about and figure out how to conduct themselves in this kind of political environment, you know, like if any of that stuff was going to happen, it would have happened already. I think what you're seeing now with them, and they're just the endless lies. Like they just endlessly lie. And you know what? If they want to take me to task and send a defamation letter my way, I'll gladly accept it. And we'll find out how much they lie in a court of law. I have no problem with that whatsoever. So I invite you.
It'd be nice to put it on record.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll put it on in a court record so that you can see it yourself, right? And so anyway, if they were going to change and kind of clean up their act and you know, it's funny. And I know I'm jumping from, you know, topic to topic with them, but it's kind of interesting. I was looking through their Twitter feed the other day because they post some just ridiculous stuff. And it's always the same, like you're the NRA. It's like, we have no connection at all with the NRA. And they just put NRA style, NRA inspired, the NRA, blah, blah, blah. And just always stuff like that. And
boring.
Yeah, well, yeah. Right. And so everything that they accuse us of doing, we actually do at about a 10% level. Like, hey, we're not perfect. You know, I get annoyed and say stupid things on Twitter once in a while too, right? Because I'm just a person.
Oh, yeah.
But it's nonstop with these guys. Like it's nonstop.
Oh, yeah.
And it's
total crime.
Oh yeah. It's so shameful. You know, they talk about everybody else and they're the worst offenders of all that stuff. Anyway, yeah, they're a total mess. And
but you know what, Rod? Mm-hmm. I look back at their Twitter feed too. Of course they have me blocked, so I have to look at it through a server. But when I look at it, it's funny because nobody else is looking at it. That's the thing. I mean, they get very little traction. You know, they don't have a very many followers, and even the followers they have, you know, they'll get a couple of likes or one retweet, a couple of comments, and the majority of the comments are people holding them to task. Right. So I think that they are just, you know, this arm of the Liberal Party, some props put there by the Liberals to say, hey, look at these doctors in their lab coats, you know, dress them up in costumes. And hey, they're going to tell us the science of gun violence. And it's a total charade.
Except the science isn't on their side. You know,
No, it's not.
We did an entire study on their science, right? A meta-analysis. Yeah. I mean, and it's really a report. I don't want to oversell it. Right. But it's in the style of a meta-analysis where we looked at all their studies that they claimed. And I mean, it was, you know, I put that on TV, I think twice in two different episodes. And it's just a scam. And I mean, if an idiot like me can say, that's not what it says. It says right here, you know, then like, there's such a mess. Anyways, enough about those guys.
Anyways, whatever. I'm looking forward to hearing from everybody on the witness list at C21. And, I would expect to see some medical health professionals, on both sides of the table. I mean, this isn't really a medical debate. However, I think there's a great opportunity for both sides here to come to the table. And yeah, we've got the evidence on our side. So I'm not very worried.
That's
C21's been a burning disaster since it was tabled.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Trudeau's government has been a burning disaster, and we're right. never going to get out of this mess. It'll take three generations to get out of this mess if we ever do. So anyway, last thing, what's more important than anti-doctors group? We've got new stuff in the store.
Yes. So I'm wearing right now, we've got these new three-quarter length or three-quarter sleeve t-shirts, which are great. These are for the ladies. Firearm rights are women's rights. I've got it in black with a nice lilac print on it. Of course, I'm sure some anti-gun ladies who are watching this video and just losing their minds
exploding.
That I'm saying this. Yeah. And this is for you. I firmly believe that firearm rights are women's rights. I mean, they're also guys' rights, but whatever. Firearm rights are women's rights, so I've got it in the gray. And then, of course, summer's here, and it's hot, and so are these tank tops. So we've got gray with the lilac.
It's like the shopping channel.
It is like the shopping channel. I know I've been looking at these all day. And then the white on black. So this is really cool. The tanks fit a little small, so maybe size up. And you'll be fine. The three-quarter sleeve fit to size. So I love them. They're live on the web store right now. We have flat rate shipping. So order lots of stuff. And there's some new, well, we debated what to call them. Athletic pants, jogging pants. But they're a unisex jogging pant on there as well. And they say Team CCFR on them with the little logo. They're great. I'm actually wearing a medium and they're awesome. So you can look like a super fan with your black hoodie with the logo and then your jogging pants, right?
So yeah.
Team CCFR.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, and that's fun.
It's fun. And the girls, I know we have our calendar shoots coming up over the summer, COVID restrictions permitting. And I think it'll be fun to bring the girls some of these tanks and yeah, it's fun. And I do believe firearm rights are women's rights. And we are the only organization, national lobby organization in Canada with a women's division. So we're proud of that.
Cool. Well, that was a long update. We had lots to talk about, but I appreciate it. And we will see you next time.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Okay, that's going to do it for episode 92. I don't know. I'm going to have to do something special for episode 100. I got to think of what I can do. Do I have time to do something special? I don't know. But anyway, I really appreciate all of you coming back, watching the podcast, supporting us. I really, really appreciate it. And we've got some big things to announce, not the next podcast, but a week after the next podcast, see if you can find that on a calendar. So 2 weeks from today, plus about 1 week, we're going to announce a huge, huge program that we're doing at the CCFR. Probably one of the biggest things we've ever done. I know you've heard that a lot, but we always follow through and do something big, obviously. But there's something really big coming. I don't want to get into it now, but just so you know, all of your support has created a really strong organization here. We have a lot of resources and we're going to do something. We always do something with it, but we're going to do something really big with it. So stay tuned for that. If you want to become a member, you can at firearmrights.ca. We'd really appreciate that. If you want to donate some money to the CCFR, you can do it over at firearmrights.ca. But if you want to, I'm going to put the link in the description box here for you to donate money via the link for the Light Up 2021 contest. So you'll be entered into a draw for a neon sign like these in the back. They're huge. They're like 3 feet wide. This one is, these guns are not for sale, or this rifle is not for sale. I can't remember what it says, but check that link out. You'll see the neon sign. And for every $10 that you donate to the CCFR, you get a free entry in those multiples of 10. So if you donate $50, you get 5 free entries into the contest, and we're giving away a neon sign every single month. So anyway, thank you all for your support. We really appreciate it, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.